You got it, right? You just caught it. Before I get into my sermon, I wanted to take a little time here to pray for a matter that has been heavy on my heart. For anyone who has checked their news site, turned on a TV in the last 16 hours, you're probably very aware of the assassination attempt of the former president who is running for president this year. And I am not up here as a Democrat or as a Republican. I'm up here as a believer in Jesus Christ. And what happened yesterday just breaks my heart. We are called to pray for our leaders. We are called to respect our leaders, even if we didn't vote for them, even if we don't like them or like their policies. They are worthy of respect. And 1 Timothy chapter 2 says, I urge then, first of all, that all petitions, prayers, and intercessions and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings, for those who are in authority, that we may live peaceable and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. There are crazy people on both sides of the political spectrum that unfortunately will listen to the words that are spoken on the news and the media and the politicians that just gin people up and cause them to do crazy and stupid and foolish things. I pray that we take time today as Americans to repent if we have had any animus in our heart for any political leader, whether it be Republican or Democrat, it doesn't matter. So I would like to pray, and then we'll get into our sermon. Father God, we come before you, Lord, and I pray and ask for this land that we love, the land that you have given us to be fortunate enough to be citizens of. I pray, Father, for the president who was wounded yesterday, thankfully not mortally wounded, but that was the intent. I pray for those who lost their lives, for those who are mourning the loss of life, for those who are clinging to life because they were shot yesterday. I pray that a spirit of peace would fall over this nation. And I pray, as in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, will turn from their wicked ways, will seek my face and pray, that I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Lord, this land needs your healing. There is no way this land will survive if we do not have a spiritual revival in this country. I pray, Lord, for the protection of President Biden and former President Trump while they are out campaigning, that no one will be able to harm them, Lord. I pray these things in the matchless name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. So let me ask you, and everybody's hand should probably go up, have you ever done anything that you later regretted? Yeah, everyone has, right? Let me share with you one of my not-so-greater moments. When the boys were young, we had a couple of rules in the house. No roughhousing and no throwing things. It might not be fun, but it was for a reason. So one day, I hear the boys roughhousing and throwing things in their room. I yell up there, hey, stop the roughhousing. Next thing I hear is glass shattering. I run upstairs to find out what's going on, and in the dormer is my youngest, cowering in the corner, crying, because they had thrown a ball and smashed the light above them. I lost it. This was one of those cheap balls that you get out of those claw machines in the arcade, you know, and it was really thin. And I just grabbed that ball and I ripped it in two. That caused my youngest to cry even more. And so I lost my temper and I did something that I later regretted, or not so much later regretted. Yeah, my kids talk about it now and they laugh about it, that Dad turned into Hulk for a moment and smashed something. But the fact of the matter is it was not one of my top 10 dad moments. That leads me to ask you this question. Have you ever done anything that you regretted and felt that God could not forgive you? Amen. I can't tell you how many times I've been there. I've had thoughts, I've had actions, I've had attitudes, I've had words that did not glorify God. And I start to wonder, can God ever forgive me? The truth is, we are not worthy of His grace. Let that sink in for a moment. We are not worthy of God's grace. But that's why it's called grace, because God gave it even though we don't deserve it. We can spend a lot of time beating ourselves up over past sins, over things that we've said or done, that we get defeated. And I firmly believe that this is one of Satan's biggest tools that he uses against believers. He will needle you about your past. He will say, God can't use you because you did X, Y, and Z. I think this is what the Apostle Paul talked about in the book of Ephesians when he said, take the shield of faith that you might extinguish the fiery darts of the evil one. Those thoughts that come into your mind that you're unworthy, that you cannot be used by God, are ways that the enemy is able to make you ineffective for the kingdom of God. There are a few things that I want to dig in today to hopefully give you some comfort, hopefully give you some peace, because Satan wants to defeat us in our mind. The battlefield is our mind. The Apostle Paul wrote in chapter 7 of the book of Romans, detailing how believers have two natures within them. They have the sinful nature that they were born with, and they have the Holy Spirit residing within them that they received when you accepted the free gift of God's salvation. Paul talks about this good that he wants to do that he doesn't do, and the bad that he doesn't want to do that he does. He may as well have titled that the Matt Wolf chapter of the book of Romans. Romans 7:21 through 25 says, so I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work within me, waging war against the law of my mind, making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I love that he doesn't stop. Chapter 8, verse 1 says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Did you hear that? There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Not some, not a little bit, not what you deserve, but there is no condemnation for those who have accepted God's free gift of salvation. Any voice that you hear that tells you that you are ineffective, that you are ineligible, that you are disqualified because of what you have done, is not coming from God. That condemnation comes from the evil one. Jesus even refers to the devil as the accuser of the brethren in the book of Revelation. He accuses us that we are not worthy. He accuses us of sins that we have committed. I like how one pastor said, if Satan tries to remind you of your past, remind him of his future, which is the lake of fire. He holds no power over us. And if God has forgiven you, then you need to forgive yourself. I had a friend who attended this church years and years ago, and he was constantly beating himself up over the life that he lived. Constantly, oh, I just feel so unworthy. And I would point him to Romans chapter 1, or 8, verse 1. There is no condemnation if you are in Christ Jesus. If you have repented of your sins and received God's free gift of salvation, then the guilt of your past sin, your present sin, the sin that you're going to commit next Tuesday, is all under the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross for us. Satan is the father of lies, and he only wants to come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he wants to destroy the joy of our salvation. He tells you lies like, God can't use you because you've been too bad or you've blown it too many times. The truth is, if God can use Moses, who was a murderer, if God can use David, who committed adultery and had Uriah murdered, if God can use, still use Peter, who denied him three times, then God can use you. There is no sin that is too bad. There is no sin that has been committed too many times in your life that makes you ineligible to be in God's kingdom because you have accepted Christ's atoning sacrifice on your behalf. I'm going to have to take a drink here because I'm getting dry. I can remember when I was growing up, raised in the Nazarene church, I believed that if I committed a sin that I failed to confess and repent of, and I died, that I would go to hell. Because I, in error, believed that God was just ready up there with a lightning bolt to strike me the first time that I sinned. Nothing is farther from the truth. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Again, Satan wants to defeat us, but I ask you, which of our sins that we have committed were not covered by the blood of Jesus Christ? And I say, none of our sins were not covered. Sorry for the double negative there. All of our sins were covered by Jesus Christ. They were yet future when Christ died for us. Another verse that I would like to focus on today is 2 Corinthians 5:21 that says, God made him who had no sin to be made sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. I heard it referred to as the great exchange. We exchanged our sin to Jesus, who took our sin on the cross. He died and paid the penalty and had God's wrath poured out on him that we deserved. And he gave us his righteousness. We don't deserve it, but he chose not to look upon those sins. When he looks at us, he sees the blood of Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect, sinless and holy life. He says, or the psalmist says, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for us who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. Micah 7:18 and 19 says, who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgressions of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all of our iniquities into the depths of the sea. Isn't that a wonderful image? God has taken our sins and he has thrown them as far as the east is from the west. That's not like on a globe where it comes back around. It's like on a line that's a continuous line. East is that way, west is that way. Actually, east is that way, west is that way. And the sin will never meet ever again. Or where he says, I have thrown your sins into the sea of my forgetfulness. It's like when you come to the Lord and you're broken over a sin that you have committed, one that you have asked for his forgiveness, and you're just feeling the guilt because Satan is needling you on that guilt. And you cry out for mercy, and the Lord says, what sin? I have thrown it into the sea of my forgetfulness. Now, can God forget something? I don't think God actually forgets it. He does something better. He chooses not to remember it. He chooses not to bring it up to you because of the love he has for his son and his son's perfect sacrifice for us. Now, before we go much further, I would be remiss if I didn't bring up one issue that just because we are forgiven doesn't give us a license to sin. Paul says in Romans 6, chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, what shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live in it any longer? Or Galatians 5:13 says, for brothers and sisters, you have been called to liberty. Only do not use that liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. When I was in high school and in college, I lived this pattern of sin, confess, because I knew enough that I needed to ask for forgiveness. But I wanted my sinful life, but I also wanted fire insurance. The thing is, God sees our heart, and he knows when we are truly repentant. He will answer the prayer of a truly repentant sinner, not one who wants fire insurance. As I was thinking through how to close this out, you know I like to bring songs into my sermon. There is one by the group Mercy Me that has meant so much to me. It's called Dear Younger Me. I don't know if you've heard it on the radio. It's several years old. But the premise of the song is somehow the songwriter and singer is able to go back and talk to his younger self to try to give him some advice on maybe ways of staying out of trouble. And it goes like this. Dear Younger Me, where do I start? If I could tell you everything that I've learned so far, then you could be one step ahead of all the painful memories still running through my head. I wonder how much different things would be. Dear younger me, dear younger me, I cannot decide. Do I give some speech about how to get the most out of your life? Or do I go deep and try to change the choices that you'll make? Because they're the choices that made me. And even though I love this crazy life, sometimes I wish it was a smoother ride. Dear younger me. Oh, if I knew then what I know now, the condemnation would have had no power. My joy, my pain would have never been my worth. If I knew then what I know now, it would not have been hard to figure out what I would have done, what I would have changed if I had heard. Dear younger me, it's not your fault. You were never meant to carry this beyond the cross. Dear younger me, you are holy, you are righteous, you are one of the redeemed, set apart, brand new heart. Oh, you are free indeed. Every mountain, every valley, through each heartache you will see. Every moment brings you closer to who you were meant to be, dear younger me. Dear younger me. If you're here today and you have never confessed your sin to God and asked Him to forgive you, the guilt that you are feeling is legitimate. Sin in our lives breaks the relationship with God. But you can get rid of that guilt in an instant by admitting that you are a sinner. 1 John 1:9 says, "If you confess your sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." The Apostle Paul said it like this, "If any man is in Christ, they are a new creature. The old has gone and the new has come." I like how one pastor said, "I'm not the man I could be. I'm not the man I should be. But praise God, I am not the man I was." And that so eloquently wraps this thing up for me. I am not the man I was. I do not have to live in regret for the sins that have been committed in the past, that have been forgiven and confessed to the Lord. Jesus said, just like in the parable of the prodigal, where the father was every day looking out, waiting for that prodigal to come back to him, he was all too willing to come running to that prodigal and embracing him and forgiving him. Our Heavenly Father is much like that. If you're away from the Lord right now, if you're not where you should be, then I ask that you would confess that to the Lord, and He will embrace you, and He will save you from the penalty, from the guilt, from the condemnation of that sin. If you've accepted the free gift of His salvation, then you can rest in the fact that you are forgiven and that He is not forgiving you. Now go and forgive yourself and walk in His victory. And remember that your past does not define who you are to God, and that you are a son or a daughter. You are a child of the King of the universe. Let us pray. Worship band. Father God, I pray that this message today will be encouraging to those who may have struggled with guilt and shame and condemnation for their entire life, for sins that they have committed, that have been confessed and forgiven, that Satan is beating them up on a daily basis, telling them that you're unworthy, that you have blown it beyond what God's grace can cover. I also pray, Lord, that if there is anyone here today that does not know you as Lord and Savior, that they will come to a point where they acknowledge their sinfulness before a righteous and holy God, and they will cry out for your mercy. And I know that you are a gracious, loving, heavenly Father that will wrap your arms around them and grant them that forgiveness. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen to the words of this song. You do not have to clean your life up. Matter of fact, you cannot clean your life up enough for God to accept you. He accepts you because of His Son, Jesus Christ. Come as you are.